Open it up this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 15. I wish Miss Ruth was here this morning. I miss her. Me and her was talking the other evening, and outside of church, actually, under the tree last Sunday. And we started talking about the wounded. People are wounded in their hearts, wounded in their spirits. And that's what stirred up this message today that you're going to get is don't let the devil ever get you to be bitter. Watch out for bitterness.
Amen.
The Bible warns us to watch out for the root of bitterness.
Amen.
To watch out for it. Doesn't mean that it's not going to try to take root. It's going to try to take root. The devil's going to try to plant it.
That's right.
But you got to make sure you keep your garden weeded out.
Amen.
Don't let it take root.
Amen.
You know, it's easier to pull up something when it's freshly been planted than it is to let it grow for a while.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
After it grows for a while, you got to take both hands down and try to pull it up.
Amen.
But if it's newly planted, you can just reach down there like a blade of grass and just pluck it up. Pluck it up. But sometimes we let things fester. Instead of treating it, we have an infection going on in our body, and if it goes untreated, it'll just grow and it'll get worse and it'll get bigger and it'll get more painful unless you treat it. And sometimes we have let our wounds go untreated. We haven't poured on the love of God and the forgiveness of God and let the Lord reach in and uproot some of these things that have hurt us through the years. People all over the world is watching this morning by media. People all over the world have wounds. They've been hurt.
Amen.
You don't just have to be an American to be wounded. You can be, really, more people are probably more wounded than you are. They have rougher lives than you have.
Yes.
That's right.
Some of us, even though we don't realize it, have been born with a silver spoon.
Amen.
Yes.
Even though we may think we haven't, but all you have to do is go get on the airplane with me and I can drop you off at a few places and you'll find out that you were born with a silver spoon, even though you don't realize it. You have been blessed.
Right.
So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, and help me, Holy Ghost, this morning, because this is a spontaneous word for your people, and I pray for your help, your guidance, your anointing. May the hearts of your people be open and may the wounded be healed in this place today. Thank you for bringing the ones that are here to hear what you have to say. The Bible says, let me read in Hebrews chapter 12, and let me start off in verse 14, because 15 is hooked to 14. It says, pursue peace with all people. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Bible says, make sure that you don't fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up will cause you trouble.
Amen.
And because of this, many, the Bible says, many have become defiled. A large number of people have fallen into this trick of the enemy and let a root of bitterness gather down in their hearts, and they don't realize sometimes that this root is there.
That's right.
But you can see it manifest in their actions in certain situations. They lash out the way they do because of this root called bitterness. These people get wounded in their hearts and their spirits. And when a person gets wounded, they also get scar tissue. Scar tissue. My dad had quite a bit of scar tissue. They operated on him many times for colon cancer. And they had to open him up from here, cut him all the way. I mean, his stomach, he had a lot of scars. When someone cuts you, it'll leave a scar. Daddy's scar was so wide and so big that it couldn't be hidden. And most people never seen it because he would never take his shirt off for people to see that. But I used to go down there after my daddy got operated on, and his wound had to heal from inside out. It had to heal. They put him on a wound vac. And his wound had to be healed from inside out. And I used to have to go down there because nobody else didn't want to do it or couldn't handle it. They might pass out. See, some people see blood, they pass out. They see mess, and it gets messy. But I went down there, and I'd have to pull the galls out. And I would repack it full of fresh galls. And this wound had to just keep healing from the inside out. And that's what the church needs today. They need to be healed from the inside out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And there's only one person that can heal us from the inside out, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
He is the one that can do that.
That's right.
He's the great physician. He can make incisions without leaving scars.
Amen.
He can take his unseen hand and reach in you and pull out a root of bitterness and take it out when nobody else can do that. But my dad had many scars, and the church today, I can see some people are wounded in the body of Christ. And we don't realize why they lash out, why they do the things that they do. It's because they've been hurt. They've been wounded. They've been had a lot to overcome, even from the day they were born to now. But there is healing available through Christ Jesus.
Right.
That word defiled, let me tell you what that word defiled, when it says many have become defiled, that word defiled means to be contaminated. It means to make filthy. It means to be corrupted. It means dirty. It means polluted. Many people have become polluted.
Right.
They've allowed the enemy to put this bitterness in them, and it contaminates their precious spirit that is holy within them. And if they allow such things to stay in them without rooting it out, deciding to hold on to it because they want revenge, or they want the other person hurt. But drink, someone once said that to allow bitterness in you is like drinking poison and thinking it's going to hurt your enemy. That isn't going to work. If you drink poison, it's going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt them. But sometimes we allow this bitterness in to stay within us because we think that we have a right to stay bitter because of the anger that's in us because of how somebody mistreated us, abused us. And if we allow this root of bitterness to come in, we become defiled, we become corrupt, we become filthy, we become dirty, and then really, y'all, we ain't really in good position for the Lord to use us. Because we're ministering out of past hurts. A lot of people today are struggling with their future because they can't get out of the past. They are trapped in yesterday. Trapped in the hurt, trapped in the pain, trapped in the abuse. And they become contaminated, hurt. They're not easy to love. Because they feel like they may get betrayed again or rejected again.
That's
right. So watch out for defilement. You got to realize this ain't no joke that the Lord's talking about. Many have become defiled because they have allowed this root of bitterness. We've all probably, the devil's probably hit all of us once or twice or more with this thing called bitterness. But if you allow it to keep growing and stay, it's only going to get harder and harder to uproot. So, look at Isaiah 53. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Where did my brother Gunner go to?
He got a business call. He had to go to Atlanta.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Mm. Lord, have mercy. Isaiah 53. Can I give y'all some helpful information?
Yes.
When you come to church, leave your phone in the car.
Amen.
That way the devil can't get a hold of you.
Amen.
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 I mean, if he got access, he'll try to distract you, hinder you, draw you out, and all it takes is, hey man, I got a $15,000 business deal on the table up here. You got to come sign it. And Jesus said, man, I got more to give to you today than that.
Amen. Yes.
But the things that we got to be careful how the Bible said, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that device in your hand.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Absolutely.
If that thing can be demonic.
I don't think it should be brought to church.
Hello?
Huh? I don't think it should be brought to church.
I never run. I tell you, it's better off. Some people read the Bible off their phone. But you got to watch that thing. The enemy can work through it all kind of ways. He'll send you a text.
Yes.
The message you need to hear, next thing you know, you can't even think about the sermon because of the text you got.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to just leave it in the car. You have authority over that thing.
Yes.
It does not have authority over you. You have to give it access. Amen?
Amen.
That thing has a power button on it.
Amen.
You can turn it. Oh, all you got to do is slide it. Shing. And that thing go whoop.
Be
and then guess what? It can't interrupt you. It can be used for good. It can also be used for bad.
Yes.
But don't let it. I don't bring my phone in here. Do I ever bring my phone in here? And if I do, I turn it off. Lay it over here to the side. That thing, I ain't going to pick up my phone in here. My wife gets on to me and she says, you don't answer your phone when I call. I say, well, I love you, darling, but every time this thing rings, I don't answer it every time it rings. But I try to for her. But I know she's going to get me if I don't. But if she tried to call me in church, she couldn't get me because I left it in the truck. Isaiah 53. Look at what Jesus went through. Look at chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him or esteem him. Look now, verse 3. Jesus is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he, being Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Or the Bible also says in the King James Version, by his stripes you were healed. In past tense. Means it's already been done. Okay? And we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What I wanted you to see, that Jesus Christ, he was despised and rejected. He was rejected. Anybody in here understand or felt rejected before? It's not something that we really take as a good gesture towards us. We don't like to be rejected.
That's right.
We like to be accepted.
Amen.
When we get rejected, sometimes there is a spirit called the spirit of rejection. And when a spirit of rejection is at work, it will work in two different ways. When someone has a spirit of rejection, they will refuse any authority. They refuse to advise, counsel. They usually are headstrong. They come out, instead of being shy, they want to lash out. They ain't going to take no advice. They hard to counsel. They stubborn. They hard-headed. And it comes from being wounded way back somewhere, and it's from a spirit of rejection, and they are lashing out, and they're not going to submit. They have a hard time submitting to anybody. That's the spirit of rejection. And the other way that rejection works is people, they just kind of feel unworthy. They don't feel like they don't measure up. And they're always seeking approval. Always seeking approval. They go out of their ways looking to be accepted by others. They're always trying to do something over and beyond so somebody will say, thank you very much for what you did. They're looking and loving approval because they're starving for it. Starving for approval. And that all stems from rejection. Children sometimes can feel rejection even from an early age. You know, some parents, parenting is not easy. You don't get an instruction book when you have a child from the hospital that really, the best instruction book on raising children is the Bible.
That's right. Yes, it is.
But a lot of people don't read the Bible, so they don't have no instruction on parenting, and some do good, some not so good at parenting. Parenting is not a joke.
That's right.
And some parents have not taken the responsibility that they should to love their children and to also try to keep them on the right path in life, to give them correction when they need it, instruction when they need it, guidance when they need it, not just feed them and clothe them. There's a lot of rich people that have children that they have the best shoes, the best clothes, the best cars and everything, but yet they don't live to be 30 years old because their kids either overdosed on drugs or or die some kind of way early because they're looking for approval that they never got.
That's right.
Daddy was never home long enough to tell them he loved them. I know I've met some people before, and I know some that's even close to me that said, my daddy never told me they loved me. Not once in my whole lifetime. My kids probably say, Daddy tells me that all the time. Too much, probably. But I don't know if you can tell them you love them too much unless they take it for granted that you tell them you love them. But I do love my children. And I want to see them succeed and do well in life. But parenting is no joke. It's not easy. But a lot of kids have felt rejection even from their parents, their loved ones. People feel rejected sometimes because of relationships. If you've been through a divorce, you've been hurt, you went through a court situation, and next thing you know, that in that court, things came out that you didn't want to come out, and next thing you know, you got a root of bitterness coming out of that courtroom. Woo! You can't hardly even stand to look at this guy or look at her. You, this thing gets a hold of you. And when you go through a divorce, you feel like, in some type of way, you feel like you failed somewhere. You failed. You feel like you failed. The devil said, you are a failure. You can't be loved. You don't know how to love anybody. And all kind of stuff he just tried to heap up on you. But this spirit of rejection ain't no joke either. You can become defiled. And it all comes from a root of bitterness.
Right.
Watch out for that root. If there's anybody in the Bible that had a right to be mad, to be upset, I was thinking, probably Jesus had a right. We read there, the Bible says he was despised and rejected by men. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 11 that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. He was the creator of mankind. He came to his own people and they rejected him. How does that make you feel? Good thing Jesus didn't go by his feelings. He didn't let his emotions rule him. He was spirit led. And he walked in the love of God. And he kept the joy of the Lord. And he kept his peace. No matter what the devil was trying to put on him, he just, instead of him receiving it, he rejected it. He rejected what needed to be rejected. But he came to his own, and his own said, we don't care about you. For us, that's hard to swallow. A minister wants to be accepted by his people. Man, I tell you what, if you're a minister and all your people out there are rejecting you, you ain't going to last long.
Right.
Sometimes you can be preaching, you know what? And the preaching can be absolutely the Word of God, but some people reject the Word of God.
That's
right. Amen. So, anybody had a right to be upset was Joseph also. Joseph was betrayed by his own brothers. At the age of 17, they threw him, the youngest brother, into a pit. Left him in the pit to die. Eventually, they sold him into slavery. And for the next 13 years, Joseph spent his life either in slavery or in prison. He was serving Potiphar. His wife brought up a false accusation. And you know who's behind false accusations?
Satan.
The accuser of the brethren.
That's right.
That being Satan himself. That is one of his titles. Is he is the accuser of the brethren. Anytime you start putting down other people, you have yoked yourself up with the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself. He spent 13 years in slavery and in prison. By the time he finally gets out of prison, and becomes the prime minister, you might as well say, of Egypt. Only one man above him, Pharaoh. And after years of being in prison, falsely accused, rejected, falsely accused, and betrayed, in 13 years, he's got plenty of time to think in prison. I got a right to be mad. You know, a lot of people sit in jail and they can't wait to get out because they want revenge. They sit there and they muster. They think. They meditate on what I can do to get back at these people.
Right.
Being false, it's one thing to be accused of something and be guilty of it. And it's another thing to not be guilty and be accused and be found guilty for it, falsely accused.
That's right.
Now that is hard to swallow.
Amen.
I hate that they've been people in prison that spent all their life, 30, 40, 50 years, only till DNA came out and they finally re-ran some DNA, found out there's no way this person could have been there. His DNA is nowhere here. And they finally let him out after he done spent 50, 60 years in jail.
Shoot.
And they finally let him out. That's why Nelson Mandela said, don't ever take a root of bitterness. He said, it's like drinking poison and thinking it's going to kill your enemies.
That's right.
Joseph had time to really get upset and think about this in prison in 13 years. But finally when he got out and become the prime minister. God began to turn, shift the tables. And his brothers came and to Egypt for food. And Joseph was the man they had to see. And when Joseph seen his brothers, Joseph could have, he had the authority to have every one of them beheaded. If he'd have been sitting in prison the whole time thinking, boy, I can't wait till I see that bunch again.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to take it out on them, boy. I can't wait. And when they showed up, he seen his brothers. And they didn't recognize him. But he recognized them. And then he had to turn his face and go back into his chambers because he wept. For his brothers who didn't love him, but he still loved them. That's the difference between letting bitterness eat you up or killing bitterness with love and forgiveness. It's the difference between being wounded and staying wounded. It's the difference between staying in the past or walking in the future. Because as long as you in yesterday, living for revenge, they hurt me, they wounded me, they talked about me, and you just getting eat up every day. You know, I think a lot of people, I'm not sure about this completely, but I know cancer is a disease that it's the bad cells eating up the good cells in a person's body. That's what cancer does. Eventually it overtakes the good cells. And eventually the person fades away or passes away. But I think a way in for cancer is through bitterness. People that walk around with bitterness in their life for years and years and years and never dealing with it, never forgiving the person. It ain't easy to forgive, but it's necessary. Because Jesus said, I will forgive you if you forgive others.
That's right.
Amen.
That's how big it is in the eyes of God that you forgive. Everybody's been wounded.
That's right.
Now, that word rejection that I spoke about, the meaning of Rejection is to refuse to accept, to refuse affection or recognition, to discard as defective or useless, to throw away. That's what rejection is. You know, somebody that's suffering from rejection, I said this earlier, that sometimes they are hard to love. They're hard to love because they've been wounded. And when a person's been wounded, they put walls up around them. And they'll let somebody get so close to them, but only so close.
That's right.
They don't let them, they don't open up completely to them because they're afraid that they may be betrayed or rejected again.
That's right.
Therefore, they keep these walls up, and people, they wonder why they can't ever have a good relationship. It's because these walls have to come down.
That's right.
You have to let somebody back in. And love is vulnerable.
Amen.
You can't never truly love somebody completely if they have the walls up.
Right.
You got to get the walls down.
Amen.
When you let the wall down, people, so God can send somebody into your life that can love you like Jesus would. But because you got the walls up, you run a lot of people off that Jesus tried to help you with.
That's right.
Am I talking to anybody this morning?
That's right. Amen.
Maybe I'm talking to somebody out there. Rejection, defilement, hurt, pain. People act the way they do because of it.
That's right.
That's why you can't be too hard on people. You don't know what they've been through. When people lash out at you in a certain way, you just hit a sore spot. You hit an infected area. And when they lash out, you just touched it. Jesus said he was bruised for our iniquity. A bruise is a busted blood vessel underneath the skin from a blow, from pain. He was bruised. Many Christians are bruised today.
Amen.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded. But you know what? When he died on that cross, he didn't die with bitterness. He didn't take the wounds to the grave with him.
That's right.
When he looked out at his accusers and all the people that spit in his face and beat him on his back, made fun of him and mocked him and spit. He looked out over them before he gave up the ghost and said, "Father, forgive these people for what they've done. They know not what they have done.
Amen.
They don't understand what they have done."
Right.
But before he left here, he said, "I ain't leaving here with no bitterness, no resentment. I ain't leaving here with a wounded spirit. I'm not going to do it." And y'all, if you want to live a victorious life full of joy and peace, you got to let Jesus get into those wounds and put some antibiotic ointment on it.
Amen.
Let him touch it and heal it and make that area whole. That way, you can be all that you can be for Jesus.
Amen.
If you're walking around wounded, you got a lot of baggage. You got a lot of hurt. You got a lot of pain. You got a lot of people that have stepped on your heart, stomped on it with spikes on their shoes. You've been gutted. You've been hurt. You've been abused. And you have bitterness. This morning, the Lord said, "If you'll bring it to me, I'll heal it. I'll set you free from that pain of yesterday. I'll get you out of the past, and I'll take you into your future. If you will allow me to get up in there."
That's right.
You allow me to get up in there.
Amen.
The Lord can melt you. He can change you. But you gotta be willing.
That's right.
For him to change you.
That's right.
All that mess, all that hurt, pain, and grime, and defilement on the inside of you, it don't scare Jesus. He knows what ugly looks like.
Right.
And he's got enough love to go up in there and say, "You don't need this, you don't need that, You don't need this. Let me take it all out.
Amen.
When he takes it out, you like, whew, wow, I'm alive again.
That's right.
I got something to live for.
Amen.
My mama had a bunch of, I was telling Ruth, and Ruth was telling me about her mama, and I was telling her about my mama. My mama had plenty of hurts and pains, wounds, scars. She didn't have an easy life. Her mama used to beat her with an electrical cord. Always beating her. People would always tell me, I go back to, you know, Stacy, do you remember what your mom, your grandmother used to do to your mom? I said, no, but I've heard about it. My mama had to start taking nerve medicine when she was 15. She had 14 shock treatments to wipe away her memory. Woo! Spent a lot of time and sometimes went to the insane asylum. She had a lot of it. You was to ask her in the grocery store, Roma, how you doing? You was fixing to hear a journey of pain. Mm. When she talked to you, she just started spilling it all out. And you could see, you could sense the bitterness in her because of the hurt. She didn't know how to deal with it. All she had was pills. Pills. My mama got so addicted to pills that she carried around a pocketbook big as yours, Lisa, or bigger, and there wasn't nothing but pill bottles in it. They couldn't find pills strong enough to knock her pain out. But finally, one day, I believe Jesus got up in there. And he worked on it.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Anyhow, this service is about you helping the wounded. You help the wounded. When you see somebody wounded at work, in your family, you got to help them.
Amen.
They don't need you to stomp on them.
That's right.
Bible said, bear with the weak. So, you got to have enough love. You got to have enough joy. You got to have enough of Jesus to help the wounded out there.
Amen.
On the battleground, they teach the military, you don't leave a man behind. And the enemy, instead of killing you, he'd rather wound you.
That's right.
Because if he kills you, they can leave you there. Come back and get you later. But soldiers are taught to not leave the wounded. To tote them out. And sometimes it takes four people to tote one person. So if the enemy wounds you, he can take four or five people out of the battlefield by wounding one person. Mm-hmm. You got to tote them out. You got to put them on your shoulder. You got to bear with the weak, the wounded. A lot of people don't want to deal with it. They don't want to get their hand dirty.
That's right.
Anyhow, stand with me this morning. I hope that you received something that would help you this morning through this sermon. Being wounded is no joke. There's a lot of people. You may be one of them that's watching that has been torn. Wounded, has a lot of scar tissue, and the devil's tried to make you super bitter, a root of bitterness inside of you. Tried to make you angry, and he wants you to get revenge. Jesus has a word for you this morning to give it to him. Forgive those that have hurt you and wounded you. Quit living in the past and go on. Jesus has a bright future for you, but you're going to have to give it all to him. It won't be easy to open up those wounds. But if you will, Jesus Christ can take his nail-scarred hand and reach in and bring healing to you. And you can live a successful, victorious, joyful, joyful life. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's only one that can save you, and his name is Jesus, and he's the Christ. He's already died on the cross. He rose from the dead on the third day. If you will accept him into your heart, confess him with your mouth, you shall be saved. We love you. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in.